Hey, it's NPR's Book of the Day. I'm Andrew Limbong. It's common to ask victims of abuse who kept quiet, why didn't you say anything? Why didn't you tell anyone? And I'm not denigrating the question. As a reporter, I think it needs to be asked because the answer can have different shapes, different ways of seeing the world. Charles Spencer's new memoir is titled A Very Private School, and it details a boyhood spent at a boarding school, allegedly full of abusive teachers. And when NPR's Scott Simon asks, why didn't you or any of the other boys say anything? Spencer says this line. He goes, quote, "We had no context to our lives," which I think is such a powerful way of phrasing the naivete that comes with childhood. After the break, he goes into more detail as to what he means by that and gets into the specifics of what went on at the school.
This message comes from NPR sponsor HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel. On The Sympathizer podcast, host Philip Nguyen joins the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen to discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Charles Spencer's new memoir about his 5 years at a posh British boys' school is often sad and shocking. It presents individual teachers, staff, and a headmaster at Britain's Maidwell Hall in the 1970s who were abusive and cruel to students in the most intimate ways. Much of this discussion may be painful to hear. His memoir, A Very Private School, and Charles Spencer, the 9th Earl Spencer, brother of Princess Diana, and author of several histories, joins us now from London. Thanks so much for being with us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
You were 8 when you were taken to this prestigious school. Is it hard even to look at the photo of the what seems to be a joyless young boy on the book's cover?
Well, it's 51 years on from when I went there, and I still have nightmares about that place. To be packed off to a boarding school for my first term, my first semester was 13 weeks, was a very daunting prospect indeed, and one that frankly at 8 I just couldn't understand on any level.
You write in this memoir that you found, quote, "a mix of quiet and secrecy." You write, "many of these adults weren't there for the boys' best interests, but to meet their own darker needs." What were these so-called needs?
The name of the book is apposite. It's called A Very Private School. And it was ruled by an extraordinarily frightening and powerful headmaster, Mr. Porch. And his needs, it was clear to me and clear to my contemporaries, were those of a sadist and pedophile. And he had complete control. It's an extraordinary amount of power that boarding school masters had in those days. We had no communication with the outside world, apart from a weekly letter home. And this deviant headmaster was able to staff his institution according to his own needs. These were unregulated amateurs who wanted to find somewhere where no one was going to pay too much attention to what they were getting on with.
Headmaster Porch supervised your daily prayers. I feel the need to be specific. What would he do to you, his students, at night?
Yes, so the headmaster, Mr. Porch, presented to the world, and particularly to the parents, as this devout Christian who the parents could feel very confident that their boys were in safe Christian hands. But it pretty much seems to me that the school was based around a need, and that was the need for Mr. Porch to be presented with half a dozen pairs of buttocks every evening to beat. And every week, at least once a week, quite a lot of us boys, and there are only 70 to 75 of us there at any one time, would be caned with our underpants down. And he had this art of delivering 5 parallel strokes of the cane, and then the 6th would go across the other 5 for added pain. And I'm afraid to say it was very clear that he was physically aroused by dishing out these punishments.
Then I have to ask about the 3rd senior master, the Honorable Henry Cornwallis Maude. He was master.
Well, he's a chilling figure.
Yeah, no, please tell us.
It was interesting when I was writing the book, I didn't put it in the end manuscript, but every single one of my contemporaries I spoke to, and there's 24 of them, every time Mr. Maud's name was mentioned, there was still a visible shudder in them because he was just so terrifying. He came from an aristocratic family and he could be utterly charming to the parents, but as soon as they were gone, he was terrifying. He enjoyed inspecting the boys at shower time when, of course, we were naked. And he would grab us by the limbs and just lash out and hurt us. I remember once I was in the changing room getting changed into cricket boots, which were spiked metal boots. And I happened to be alone and he just seized me. I hadn't done anything wrong. He seized me and beat me with my cricket boot. And obviously the spikes went in and drew blood. So a chilling man, and I believe also, well, clearly a sexual pervert.
Even moments that seem like fun could be trouble. There's an assistant matron you refer to as Please, who would sneak snacks into your room at night, but for a price, is the way I'll put it.
Yes. So in this very chilled landscape, it was very exciting to have this young assistant matron. She was probably around 20 when I was 11. And we slept in dormitories. And there were two dormitories up near her bedroom. So it wasn't patrolled by any of the other staff because they felt she had us, she would be there to look after us. And I've always been a light sleeper. And I woke up to hear voices. And it was her dishing out cookies and grapes. And then later that night, I woke up to work out that she'd come back again. And I don't know what the right term is, but she set about seducing me as an 11-year-old, and she was a woman. And, it seemed very exciting at the time, but of course it was perversion at its worst.
I appreciate this is going to sound naive, but I think a lot of people listening to us, they want to ask, why didn't you tell your parents?
It is a question. I think the main answer, not one of my contemporaries told our parents. And I think you have to remember how very young we were. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-old boys. We had no context to our lives. We didn't know how abnormal this was. We also had very limited relationships with our parents. One of my contemporaries said the strangest thing about his first day at this boarding school was being driven there by his father, because they had never actually been alone before. This is him as an 8-year-old. They'd never been alone and had a conversation before. But his father wanted to take him to school to warn him that some of the older boys might find him attractive. So that was the reason for that conversation. Essentially, it comes down to just not knowing how wrong it was at the time and just thinking also, I know this from my point of view, I assume my parents were all-seeing, all-knowing beings, and that they wouldn't have sent me there if they didn't know what it was like.
We ought to mention Headmaster Porch, whom you name is deceased, and you make it clear in the book that you believe the school's a very different place now.
Yes. I think essentially this was a regime of one man, and Mr. Porch left very suddenly a year after I graduated from the school. I assume that he was found out on some level, because although he was only young, for a headmaster, he was like 51, I think, when he departed. He never had another job in another school. The worst part of writing this book was, I have a journalistic and author background, was listening to other people's, what happened to my friends, what happened to my classmates, because it was all done so privately and so cleverly. And I imagine it's a typical way that abusers operate. They're going to do it in the shadows. And I felt this despair, not about my own experiences, because I understood them, but it was listening to other people and what they'd gone through. And in a way, I know this sounds mad because I was a little boy back then, but I was quite a big presence at the school academically and sportingly and all of that sort of thing. But some of these who were picked on were very quiet, sweet kids who've had their lives ruined.
You will turn 60 in a few weeks.
Yes.
How do you think this experience still affects you?
there will always be a part of me that's snared by what happened at that school. But I have worked very hard over the last few decades to come to terms with it. I say it in the book, actually, but to survive, to navigate this incredibly bleak environment, a small but important part of me had to die. I'll never resurrect the full sensitivity that I would have had in a more reasonable and sensible place. I know that, but that's what's happened. But I am in a much better place than I was before I wrote this book.
Charles Spencer, his memoir, A Very Private School. Thank you so much for being with us.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
And in a statement to NPR, Madewell Hall School says, quote, almost every facet of school life has evolved significantly since the 1970s. At the heart of the changes is the safeguarding of children and the promotion of their welfare. Although we have not directly received any claims from ex-pupils, the school has made a referral to authorities and would encourage anyone with similar experiences to come forward and contact either Madewell Hall or the police.
Last year, over 20,000 people joined the Body Electric study to change their sedentary, screen-filled lives. And guess what?
We saw amazing effects.
Now you can try NPR's Body Electric Challenge yourself. Listen to updated and new episodes wherever you get your podcasts.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch. Support for NPR and the following message come from Bombas. Bombas makes absurdly soft socks, underwear, and T-shirts. And for every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness. Get 20% off your first purchase at bombas.com/NPR and use code NPR.